The next case is 0990 and 09318 Erie MM. Mr. Hempling, I believe you are going first, is that right?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'm Richard Hempling. I'm here today representing Kathy Richards, who is the maternal great aunt of the child at issue in this case. With the court's permission, I'd like to argue first for 10 minutes and reserve 5 minutes of time for Mr. Lipowitz to argue in rebuttal.
You need to watch your time there on the clock.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say I'm very conscious of privacy concerns in these cases and the need for such privacy. However, I'm a little bit uncomfortable depersonalizing the matter to the point of continuing to refer to this little girl as the child, the child, the child. Is it permissible to use the nickname that everyone has used throughout the court proceedings?
Well, if you, counsel, it's your judgment call, but we do try to protect the names of children in these cases. So if you think the nickname protects the child's identity, that's certainly sufficient for us.
Thank you, sir. I believe it does. Who we're talking about here is little Maggie, a very bright, personable, lovable child who will be 4 years old on her next birthday. But where this began is with her birth. Her mother, unfortunately, is addicted to drugs, and quite frankly, the record reflects that she never was a very good parent. At the time that Maggie was born, the mother had a relationship with a fellow named Mr. Maxwell, and both of them believed that Maxwell was actually the father of Maggie. When Children's Services got involved in the case, there was a decision made to grant interim temporary custody to Mr. Maxwell. He then proceeded to file a paternity complaint and eventually filed a motion for legal custody himself. Those proceedings resulted in DNA testing. Mr. Maxwell was found not to be the father of Maggie. His request for custody was overruled, and in the course of those proceedings, he did and said some things that caused the court to call his mental health into question. As a result of that, when the court overruled his motion for custody, it included an order that he not be allowed to visit with Maggie. That's kind of the starting point for what followed as everything progressed in this case. Children's Services determined to file a dependency case. Maggie was adjudicated dependent. She was placed in foster care. In the meantime, however, Aunt Kathy, my client, was permitted visits of once a week. The agency was looking at her for a possible permanent placement, grant of legal custody. A home study was conducted. The home study was satisfactory. in the course of this. Overnight visits with Aunt Kathy started. And then came the day that Mr. Maxwell showed up at Kathy's house during a visit. And almost as soon as he got there, the caseworker showed up as well. Discovered Mr. Maxwell there at the house, and the agency terminated the overnight visits. The agency then filed a motion for permanent custody. Kathy Richards responded with her own motion for legal custody. The matter was heard, and in that, at the conclusion of that first hearing, the magistrate overruled the motion for legal custody based upon that recent incident with Mr. Maxwell showing up at the house. However, in that decision, the magistrate all but invited Ms. Richards to refile her motion at a later date when the case came up for its one-year review. She did that. And then the hearing that is really at issue here commenced. There was evidence presented during that hearing that I believe makes the ultimate outcome of this case unreasonable. First of all, it was uncontroverted and uncontrovertible.
Counsel,
yes, ma'am.
We've read the briefs and we really know the facts, and I don't want you to lose all your time since you want to reserve time just going through the facts. The legal issue before us is whether the court has no option but to give the placement to a relative rather than the Children's Services Agency if the relative is suitable, rather than looking at best interest overall as just one factor. That's what you're arguing, that it has priority, it's not one factor. Is that true? That's what you're arguing?
That's part of the argument, Your Honor. That's on the certified question.
And then you have an abuse of discretion argument as well, do you not, that you claim that they abuse their discretion, the court abuses discretion in awarding based on the evidence presented to the court.
That's
your second.
That is what I started.
We don't, obviously, abuse of discretions are not issues we normally review. We're looking at the certified question issue. What is your strongest argument and let's take a scenario where you have a placement with a relative that is really not the best for the child. The foster care situation is best for the child. But it's not bad, but it's not best. In your position, does that still require the court to give it to the relative and not to Children's Services, even though it's not in the best interest of the child, but it gives the relative priority? Is that what you're arguing?
I'm arguing that part of the best interest calculus has to take into account the very drastic and irrevocable decision of granting permanent custody.
But when you say take into account, can that be one factor for the court to look at, irrevocably severing that tie, or does that take priority over the other factors?
I believe that that should take priority. Now, I'm well aware of this court's Schaefer case, which indicated that no one factor in the statute is given any priority over any other factor.
Does that pretty much then control the outcome?
I don't believe it does. I don't believe it does.
Why should we not follow what we said in Schaefer and suggest that the fourth element, the child's need for a legally secure placement, and whether that can be achieved without a grant of permanent custody, is just one factor among others?
The statute doesn't differentiate. The statute doesn't say that any one factor is more important than the others. But given the grand scheme of things, given the reluctance, well-deserved reluctance on the part of courts to grant permanent custody and completely sever that child's contacts, not only with the wayward parent like we have in this case, but her entire biological family, given that type of result, I'm suggesting that the statute doesn't preclude giving extra weight to that factor as well.
Would we have to go away from Schaefer to follow what you're suggesting to us?
To a certain extent, yes, okay. But I think the bottom line to Schaefer is the statute doesn't place more emphasis on one factor than the other. I believe this court can decide that whether the statute requires more emphasis than the other, given the stakes in a situation like this, guidance from this court that that particular factor, whether permanency can be achieved without a grant of permanent custody, I suggest to the court that that is something that this court can make that determination as a matter of common law.
And Mr. Heffling, this is the great aunt of the child, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're talking about all biological relatives should be put in this category of obtaining priority?
I'm not saying that there should be a bright line rule that says all relatives should be given priority. What I'm suggesting is that there is room for placing emphasis on that factor and giving it a closer look when you have a situation such as this with a very close relative, a very bonded relative, a relative whom even the guardian ad litem is telling the court it's in Maggie's best interest to be raised with her family in a good home provided by her maternal great aunt.
Counsel, what I seem to be understanding here is a de-emphasis on the word permanent in the statute and more of an emphasis on the secure placement. And is it not the responsibility, the statutory responsibility, to look at a permanent placement for this child? And what you're advocating here, the legal placement, certainly wouldn't fall into the category of a permanent placement. Is that correct?
It wouldn't be permanent per se. Now, under the facts of this case, it probably would be because the mother would never be able to regain custody of the child.
Well, also, given her history. You talk about permanent, you also, you know, you're presuming that if the great aunt was the obtained legal custody of the child, but not permanent placement or permanent custody, that the aunt wouldn't, you know, do a misstep again and have someone like Mr. Maxwell present.
Well, that's correct, but the only way to grant permanent custody is to an agency. Legal custody is as close as the aunt can come to something permanent.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there could be custody and then there could be an adoption.
That's correct.
Okay, an adoption's permanent.
An adoption is
placement.
Permanent.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Pempling.
Thank you for bearing with the time.
Sorry, I thought I told you. Ms. Shy.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'm here on behalf of Montgomery County Children's Services asking this court to find that permanent custody is in the best interest of this child. This child came into the care of Montgomery County Children's Services as a dependent child, having been abandoned by her only parent. When reunification is no longer possible with a parent, and there's another legally secure permanent placement available or any other placement that's available that comes forward with a legal custody motion, the court is entrusted with having to weigh a number of factors, not having one be any more important than another or any one have more greater weight than the other, and trying to find a permanent placement for this child.
Let me stop you there. It seems to me that because we know the facts and child involved here with whom everyone needs to be concerned, but the statute 41.4 says the child's need for a legally secure permanent placement, one of the conditions, obviously, considerations, legal secure placement, whether that type of placement can be achieved without a grant of permanent custody to the agency. The trial judge's order says, among other things, the court finds permanent custody with the agency will give said child her best chance at permanency. Does that language fit the statute, do you think?
Yes, I believe it does. The statute requires the court to weigh all of these factors and make an ultimate determination of what placement is the best placement for this child. And in considering the child's best interest, there are a number of factors, and that's one of them. The court needs to consider whether a permanent placement.
Four doesn't refer to the best placement. It says that type of placement can be achieved without a grant of permanent custody to the agency. It seems to me that the trial judge's order doesn't say that. The trial judge's order essentially says the best chance is to the agency. But the statute is a little more subtle than that, is it not? It requires a little more than that, it seems to me.
The statute requires that the court make a determination of whether permanent custody is in this child's best interest. The statute does not require the court to make any specific findings with regards to any of the factors that are listed in the statute.
No, but if the trial court considers number four, which I think the trial court apparently did, the court finds permanent custody with the agency will give said child her best chance at permanency.
Yes.
Just taking four among all the others and giving it, just reading it literally, does the trial judge not need to say that there cannot be permanency for this child without the agency being the custodian?
No, the trial court does not have to say that or make that finding. The trial court is required to consider whether permanency can be established without a grant of permanent custody. And this court basically said that it cannot. They have considered Ms. Richards as a placement option, but did not consider her to be the type of placement that the legislature intended them to look at when figuring out which placement would be in the child's best interest.
And why would that be? Was it her age? Was
The child's age? She was one.
The great aunt.
No. They didn't find that placement would be permanent with her because she had already demonstrated that she would not protect the child's best interests or act in the child's best interests.
Over this one incident, or was there more?
Well, there was the one incident, which was a big incident, and then she had testified that she was no longer in contact with Mr. Maxwell. And then on cross-examination, she had admitted that she had recently accepted money from him and furniture for this child from Mr. Maxwell's family, establishing that she is still very much in contact with Mr. Maxwell. They've had a long-term relationship. She's very close with him and his family. And because Ms. Richards has demonstrated that she is unwilling or incapable of protecting this child from him, the court found that it wouldn't be a stable, secure, or permanent placement for this child. And instead, the other option is with the foster family, who she's enjoyed a sense of permanency all of her life. She's almost 4 years old, has been with the same foster family, has been well cared for, bonded with, and loved for many years.
And they're going to be adopting then?
Yes, their goal is to make her a permanent part of their family. The statute is unambiguous and it is clear. This court in Ray Schaefer has found exactly that. To weigh all the factors, not giving any greater weight to any one factor, and to ultimately determine what is in this child's best interest, a placement that is going to foster growth, stability, and security. And the trial court found that placement to be with this foster family. And not only is it the best choice, it's the only choice in this case.
So for courts that review what the trial judge has done in cases like this, which are always very difficult, it's the reviewing court's look to see if there was any abuse of discretion. If there was no abuse of discretion, the trial court's judgment should be upheld. Is that your position?
Yes.
How should we answer the certified question? So we give direction to counsel and to courts?
The answer should be no. The trial court should not be required to choose another available placement option over and above or foreclose on the possibility of permanent custody for a child.
Should the trial court be required to indicate that it has considered number four, that is, that there cannot be a secure permanent placement unless the agency receives custody of the child?
No.
That'd be a part of, should we know, in other words, should we know on review, should a court know on review that the trial court has actually considered that requirement? Or is it sufficient?
It can be inferred from the record. The court's consideration of those factors can be inferred from the record. There's no language in the statute that makes it a requirement that the court put forth any particular findings or determinations with respect to any of these factors, only that they consider them and they weigh them and make an ultimate determination of what placement and if permanent custody is in the best interest of the child.
So, counsel, you're not saying that the court has to have a scorecard, so to speak, in its trial court entry where we've considered factor one, you know, the strong point for option A is this, the, you know, deficit is this, and going back and forth. Just the language that said that it's in the best interest of the child given the statutory requirements incumbent upon this court, something to that nature?
The statute offers a juvenile court great discretion in determining what is in the best interest of a child, especially at this point in the proceedings. Permanence is of the utmost importance, and the best interest of the child is paramount. To have the court require them to weigh these factors in their discretion is the best thing that could happen for a child. Demanding that they have to have a scorecard or have to put forth certain factors or findings with regards to these factors would be taking the discretion away from the court.
So counsel In re Schaefer really basically said that same thing already, did it not? And would you say that the Schaefer case applies here?
Yes, Your Honor. It is controlling. There are no further questions from the court. On behalf of Montgomery County Children's Services, I ask that this court affirm that permanent custody is in this child's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shy. Mr. Lipowitz, you have about a little more than 2 minutes.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. Children's Services and the appellants agree on one thing, that it must give effect to the legislature's intent when interpreting 2151.414D4. However, we severely disagree between how that statute should be interpreted. Given the nature of severity and permanency of permanent custody proceedings, the irreversibility of that end result. This court has equated permanent custody with the family equivalent of the death penalty. In this case, we have a situation where a child's relationship with her biological relatives will be permanently severed, and the trial court should have given greater consideration and attention to whether permanent custody is the only viable alternative in this case.
Mr. Lipkowitz, same question with respect to how far this should go. When you say biological relatives, you're speaking to giving priority to every biological relative? Is that your position?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. But in a situation such as this, where we have a biological relative who has demonstrated to the trial court that she can provide a legally secure placement for this child, that she and the child she is currently caring for have bonded with Maggie in this case, that she has maintained contact with this child on a weekly basis, which continues even to this day, that the trial court should have given greater consideration and maybe some more attention, some more emphasis as to whether this alternative to permanent custody was a good and viable alternative and inevitably in this child's best interest.
So you would have us modify Schaefer also, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. In the case at hand, the trial court found that this child's need for permanency outweighed factors that the trial court specifically found, including the bonding between great aunt and child, the visitations, the fact that this child would have a suitable home through two home studies with the great aunt. And yet this the trial court found and did not specifically hold that there was another legally secure placement for the child with the great aunt, merely that the child's need for permanency could be outweighed, placing this child with the great aunt. We also believe that the state ignores the the word without in the statute, and would ask this court to consider that. The statute's very specific when it says that legal custody shall not, first the court must determine whether a legally secure placement is needed, and if so, then must make a second factual determination that the whether that legally secure placement can be achieved without a grant of legal custody.
Counsel, if I could ask you a question. The terminology used in the statute is a legally secure permanent placement. What in your view does legally secure permanent placement mean?
Legally secure permanent placement means a stable home, a home which will first of all provide all of the necessities of life for the child, food, clothing, shelter, with a person who is person or persons who have stable income, can provide financially for the child, that have
does that go to legally secure? Doesn't it? It seems to me that this means something that the relationship replacement is not going to change. It is going to be a permanent situation, not something subject to change. But it means something different to you then? It means all this physical, being able to provide for the physical needs and care and comfort of the child?
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe that's borne out by the rest of Code Section 2151.414, when they discuss the other factors that the court must view or consider in determining the best interest of the child, the interaction of the child with the child's relatives, the child's wishes as expressed through the guardian ad litem, and in this case, the whether or not a legally secure permanent placement. And I think I would view the word permanency not in so much in its legal sense, but in the sense that it would be a permanent placement, one that the child could certainly enjoy through age of majority.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lipkowitz. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.